as someone who's celebrating the end of a big and successful year. And to be fair, 2021 was not the first big year our guest has had. In 2016, Ruby Tui was part of the team that won silver at the Olympics in Rio de Janeiro. In 2017, she took out the Women's Sevens Player of the Year. In 2018, she was part of the Black Ferns Sevens team that won the Rugby, or won the Sevens Rugby World Cup. 2019, she was the World Rugby Sevens Player of the Year. But this was the year, 2021, that Ruby Tui helped bring home gold from Tokyo, helping heal that Rio heartbreak and gaining thousands of new fans around the world just for being herself, following an interview with the BBC's Jill Douglas, fresh off the field from beating Russia at Tokyo Stadium. Here's an excerpt from that interview.
They are bloody tough. They're a tough, tough team. And to be honest, they weren't at the last Olympics, so this is huge for them. Massive congratulations to Russia. Thank you so much. But I don't want to say the score made it look easy, but it was not easy. Don't be fooled. That was not an easy game. Lots of running. My GPS just blew up. That's how hard it was. So, lots of respect for Russia.
Now, we've heard what you think about Russia. A word on GB, because you don't get to play against the GB side very often. Obviously, you play against England and Scotland. But what have you made of them here at this tournament?
You know, I love how GB come together, eh? Like, you know, they all split up, but then for the Olympics, they're all friends. It's funny because in the scrum, they probably hate me saying this. Sorry, Abby. But when they go down, they go, England! Like, they're real, you know, proud to be English, but they can't do it here. So Abby's got to go, GB! When she goes down. So, like, you know, everybody comes together. Scotland got a couple of really good players in there. Wales, obviously, Joyce is bloody gas. Gas a couple of us even. So I love the whole concept of GB. And like I said, huge congratulations to Great Britain and all the people of that place, because they fundraise. They worked hard, they campaigned. I think even a couple of us donated, and they ended up at the Olympics. So huge, huge mahi, big job. Sorry, mahi is me's job.
Listen, thank you so much, Ruby. I've been told you have to go because I think the rain's coming. We'll see you tomorrow.
What rain? Bring on the thunder. We're at the Olympics. Let's be happy. Let's compete safely and peacefully. Peace and love. Love you guys.
We love you too, Ruby.
Ruby Tui, absolutely fizzing, and why wouldn't she be at Tokyo? Kia ora, she's with us from Tauranga. Kia ora, Ruby, welcome.
What's up? Good morning, Tauranga lover. How are you?
It's toned down a little bit. It's toned down a little bit from the win. It's all good. Is it good to just remember that again for a minute and just go back there for a minute?
Oh, sorry, what was that?
Oh, I was just going to say, is it good just to remember that for a minute? Go back to that moment for a minute.
Yeah, it is, eh? It's quite funny how that blew up, because I just really didn't see the big deal, eh? I was just having a good old chat, and I didn't know where that lady was from, because at the Olympics, you never know what country you're going to get. I didn't even know if she could understand me, because I was speaking Samoan, and that's really important to me. So, yeah, it's just funny, eh? Joy, she was a great lady, and you never know. You could talk for half an hour, and then only 1 minute makes it up or whatever. So the whole bloody interview made it, eh? I was cracking up when I saw that.
People loved you for it. People in this sort of era where far too many sports people, well, they either take themselves too seriously sometimes, and I could name one or two, or they're really wearing an enormous stress and burden that we've got to think about. It's just great to hear someone loving it and fizzing from the sheer joy of it. And I think, and happy to share that. I think everyone appreciated that.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about Rio, and I just remember it was the first time rugby had been in the Olympics since like 1920s or whatever, the first time sevens had been in the Olympics. And I remember getting to Brazil and getting to the Olympic Village, and it kind of, you know, looking up at everything, and Michael Phelps is over there, the Williams sisters over there, it kind of felt like looking up at a tidal wave. Like it was just so huge, and I think I was guilty of kind of letting it get the better of me a little bit. So I remember very clearly heading to Tokyo with that experience, just thinking to myself, I'm going to be in every single second. I'm going to be present for everything. I'm not going to let it be too big. I'm here. I'm playing footy. I love that. And I'm just, you know, I'm just so happy to be here. And so, yeah, I guess there was a couple of us older girls that are a bit like that. And I really wanted to feel everything, talk to everybody, and just, you know, remember that I'm just lucky to be there. So, yeah, if a little bit of that came out of the interview, I guess it's a good thing, isn't it?
It really did. Let's just look at the results. And, you know, last week, of course, with the awards, your captain, Sarah Hirini, was Player of the Year, Black Ferns Sevens Player of the Year, Māori Player of the Year at New Zealand Rugby Awards. Your coach is too, named Coach of the Year for the third time. This team has actually really carried the mantle for New Zealand rugby this year, if I may say so. There's been a few challenges with the 15-a-side teams, both men's and women's. You've really carried the mantle this year, and what would you put that down to?
Yeah, well, I mean, firstly, we definitely can't sit here like we're better than anyone else. I mean, each year everybody has their moment, and, you know, luckily the 2021 Tokyo Olympic Games actually happened. There was a while there we didn't think it was going to happen. I guess Rio was a huge learning for us, obviously on the field tactically, but definitely off the field. And, you know, we really had to look ourselves in the mirror. What does culture mean? Why are we here? What do we want to do? We're the first ones to be called the Blackfoot Sevens. We were just the New Zealand Women's Sevens before that. We didn't have a team before like 09, you know, so it was just a big old, you know, one of those moments in life. You look in the mirror and you choose yes or no, right? And we chose yes, and we put the mahi in. And I was listening to you read out those years, and they didn't feel like that. They didn't feel that wonderful. But 17, 18, they were great years. You know, 19, personally, my career was kind of having a good run. And then 2020 was just out the gate for bloody everyone. So I think 2021, it seemed like our year, but it was actually just a massive 5-year-long lesson, you know, and we don't want to let the country down in this. We've got a good old rep in the rugby, don't we? So it was, you know, a bit of pressure, but, you know, I've always said pressure is an absolute privilege. If all I've got to worry about is pressure to perform on the rugby field, I've got a pretty good life, you know. So, yeah, it was a big question we asked ourselves in 2016, and thankfully powers that be let us have it, and we answered it in 2021.
How did you cope with the up and down uncertainties, training, getting together, trying to keep your tapering on track, your physical training tapering on track, and your mental management on track with the ups and downs of all those interruptions? And as you said, the uncertainty, we know this played on athletes' minds. You know, we had athletes honestly talking about how hard it was to stay in peak performance with all these ups and downs and doubts. How did you guys do it?
Yeah, it was real interesting, eh? We've always prided ourselves and our team on our difference. Like, we've got a leadership group and we're all really different people, and that's where we find strength within that diversity. So when COVID hit, everybody was really different, and it was really interesting how everybody took it. Some people were just like absolutely devastated when they heard it was going to be postponed a year, and I remember personally being really happy because I honestly thought they were going to cancel it. Like, there'd been nothing like COVID ever before in World War II. I think they cancelled the Olympics. I honestly thought they were going to cancel it. There's a really high chance, just, you know, money, the economy. I don't want Japan to be put in an awkward situation. And so when they said a year, man, I was actually really grateful, thankful. And I just went out, and I'm in my home in Tauranga and Papamoa, and I live, and there's a little grass section just in our block. So I just went out there and just kept on training. I was just so grateful that we had that I had cones and a rugby ball. So I kind of was in that mindset. But, yeah, a lot of the girls were really devastated, and we all, no matter where we were on the kind of spectrum of how we reacted, we had to be really patient with each other, because just because I was all good didn't mean, you know, the other girls were all good. So it was a massive moment of compassion, empathy and patience within our team, and it kind of put all that work we've been doing for 4 years to a real test. You know, how do we talk about this? How do we react to this? And one thing that I'm really proud we did was we really were in tune, and we took the time to just sit down and like talk about how we feel. Like, how do you feel? Your lifelong dream has just been postponed and it's not even guaranteed. How do you feel? And you can imagine some of those conversations in that room, like, you know, these are people I really care about, man. So there was just, they're just really distraught. You know, it's your identity getting played with. It's, have I just wasted 10 years of my life? So it was definitely all into the spectrum. And then because we took the time there, and I've got to give it to Corey Sweeney and Alan Bunting for allowing us to be okay with emotions. And because let's be real, everybody has an element of fear at the moment with this whole COVID thing, even still now, a couple of years on. So to just be the first people to articulate that and create a safe space where we can not be afraid to be afraid, if that makes sense, it was just a really powerful turn. And then being together in that moment, it kind of made every turn after that like, no, we can do this, like we've got this, and whatever happens, happens. And because we did that, you know, things that happened, like we went to Aussie to play in Townsville and then the whole of Townsville went into lockdown. We weren't as afraid because we'd taken that time at the very beginning. So yeah, it was scary, Catherine, but I'm just really proud that we took the time to not be afraid of those emotions, but sit down, articulate them, and discuss through a plan that worked with everybody. I think that was really, really important.
You are talking about really important things because we are seeing across a variety of sports in New Zealand incidences where players' emotions and their feelings and the reality of the extremes that you take yourself to in a really high-performance environment are perhaps not being as managed as well as they should. And this can often come down to coaches' skills, all-round skills. It can come down to the leadership of organisations. It can come down to the leadership and culture of teams. And everything I'm hearing from you is a lesson, I think, to a lot of sports, that at the elite level, you are dealing with typically quite young people's lives, and you have to acknowledge emotion, and you have to, it's not a weakness to feel fear or doubt or just all the ups and downs of what you're putting yourselves through. It sounds to me that this is the obvious strength of your team unit.
Yeah, and like I said, you know, our coaches made that decision to spend that time there. Like we could have just reassembled, got straight back into the mahi. They could have just smashed us, you know, probably out of a bit of fear. But we just pressed pause, man. And I guess as an athlete, like I guess I can speak on behalf of myself, I will do anything that the team requires of me. I'll run for 10 hours if that's what is required of me physically. But at the end of the day, even the world's greatest athlete is still a human. And the thing that makes us different as a human is that we feel and we, you know, we have these emotions, and used and catered the right way, those emotions will take you to places you never even imagined you could get. You know, like think of a mother protecting a child, an athlete protecting their dream, probably not as strong as that motherhood power, but it's definitely strong, and we definitely give a damn and we encompass our identity within that. And so I guess at the end of those sessions, we just sat there and we were like, man, none of this fear, none of this sadness, none of this heartbreak makes us weak. It's actually the opposite. All this emotion means that we give a damn. Like we give a damn more than anyone else. We felt like in the world, you know, we had all these standards we put on ourselves, but to just press pause and acknowledge, A, we're human, and B, these emotions don't make us weak. They actually, it shows us. I can look you in your eye, in your teary eye, and I can see that this dream means as much to you as it does to me. And when you're in a team, I haven't been an Olympian individual athlete, but when you're in a team and you can look in the eye of your teammate and they understand your dream, there's literally no one else in the world that has that. Like your family are there for you. My beautiful partner, she's been there for me for everything. But when your teammate has that look in their eye, oh, that's special and that's powerful. And those huge moments where your identity and athleticism or the Olympics becomes, you know, potentially at risk, that look in the eye, you can only get in that room. And so I think as an athlete, it's important you press pause and you find that look in your teammate, because let's be real, on the rugby field, I need her like that. And when I've already had that moment with her, we're unbreakable. We're unbreakable. And I think, you know, that semi-final against Fiji, and we were bloody, you know, Fiji were the better team on that day. We weren't playing good footy for a lot of those games. And the fact that we came out an extra time, it's those looks, Kefra, it's those looks we have in each other's eyes. It's like, I'm not going nowhere. I'm staying here till I die or till we win, you know. So, yeah, it turned into this huge strength for us, totally.
It's what takes the athletes and the team. It's what produces miracles. They're not miracles. It's that kind of belief and understanding and never say die. But you know those disappointments. I think in the Commonwealth Games final 2018, you missed that because you were sick. I think you caught the mumps. It's an awful, awful. God, I remember that from when I was a kid. God, it's awful. And you're certainly not going to be playing any rugby. So, you know, you've learned, I guess, over the course of your career. And actually, I think after Rio, you thought for a moment about walking away. I don't know how long it lasted, but you thought about walking away after that disappointment, right?
Yeah, No, 100%. It was, it's just the most frustrating thing, you know, like, I don't know, in radio, you feel like you've got the best announcers, best producers, best show, and you just don't quite put out the performance that you know you're capable of. Like, man, we had some hitters in that team. We had such an amazing team that, you know, that starting lineup, rugby terms, was mouthwatering. And, you know, that was the last time I got to play with, like, Caleb McAllister and Hoodie Anamani on the same field. And, I still get a bit frustrated to this day. It's like, I know we could have done it. But looking back, it was like, we were very lucky to even get silver. And, the culture wasn't what it is today, I guess. We were still very much learning. And, you know, this rugby gig, like, I love rugby so much, but it's just like any passion. It's 24/7. Like, I try and be the first one to work. I leave last a lot of the time. I try and do extra sessions. I get home, I'm doing recovery. I bought a damn spa because it helps my back. I'm watching rugby till the end of the day, and then I'm trying to do extra emails. So it's all the time. And when you feel like it's not really giving back or you're not reaching the heights, it does make you consider leaving, because you're taking all this time away from your family. You know, luckily I didn't have kids, but, you know, a few of the girls had kids. It's like, you're constantly asking yourself, is this worth it? Is this worth it? And then when we won silver, I was like, I really don't know. You know, I've got to think about my mental health. I've still got plenty to offer the world. You know, what am I doing? Do I really want to be here? And it was actually bloody Alan Bunting who sat me down, not the night we lost the final, but the second night. And, you know, he asked me the question, and he kind of pondered going for head coach, and my ears just pricked up, and I was like, I knew this guy had the goods. And he kind of made a couple promises that I knew if he made those promises, there was no doubt in my mind that we would win that gold medal. So to me, I was going to walk away because of the culture. I think you need to find some sort of happiness within your career. Otherwise, why are you doing it? You know, that's the purpose of life. And when he said, I will change this culture and I will do A, B, and C, will you walk next to me? I was like, oh, bro, I'm all in. So I was ready to walk away, Catherine, but my man's Alan Bunting had a life-changing conversation with me in the hotel outside the Olympic Village in Rio. If you're there, you know the one I'm talking about. I was the only one with a bar. And we had a very deep conversation, and it changed my life, and I'm so glad I stayed stuck next to him.
Ruby Tui's our guest, part of the gold medal-winning Tokyo Black Ferns Sevens team this year, 25 minutes past 10 on 9 to noon. You talked about those sacrifices, but I also hear how much not just the sport means to you, because plenty of people play sport fairly averagely and they're happy and it's a good time, but doing and being your best as a unit means to you. And tell me, you've spoken openly about your upbringing and some of the challenges of your young life. Tell me the role that having this kind of mission's not the right word, that this kind of a purpose and the way it brings together people and purpose and personal challenge, right? I think that's a big thing for many athletes. Tell me what it meant and what it meant for your life, given, you know, some challenges when you were younger.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone's always like, I want to be happy. But I think it's so important to, like, oh my gosh, so my kitten's stuck on the fence.
Do you need to help, Kitty?
Sorry, give me one second. I've just got to save this cat.
Okay, that's all good. Ruby Tui's our guest. Not only is she a gold-winning rugby sevens player, but awesome. She is becoming a paramedic, possibly, or a rescuer.
Yeah, sorry, I put the rose in there.
How old? How old?
She's only 3 months, and she gets stuck all the time and starts crying. So,
have you got her?
She's good. Yeah, I got her. Sorry, I'll come back to the question real quick. She, okay. People are always looking for happiness, right? Are you looking for happiness, Catherine?
In large part, I like having it as part of other things. Definitely, yeah. Definitely not looking for unhappiness, put it that way.
Yeah, well, I love that, and I think people get consumed with this idea without trying to figure out what their own personal, unique, true definition is. With me, yeah, I mean, everyone had hardship. I'm not trying to say mine's worse than yours, his is worse than mine. my mum was, you know, in the women's refuge just for a short period, and it really helped us out. My father still to this day battles, you know, with the bit of booze. Sorry, I'm just dragging my kid in. So there was lots going on in my childhood, but that's who I am. That's made me who I am. My whole life I was searching for purpose that can help others and a sense of belonging. And so there were all these bad things I saw happen, and I thought, man, that's bad, that's bad, that's bad. I swear there's got to be another option. When I found footy, I found myself in a room full of amazing, strong wahine toa. I found myself working hard towards a positive purpose, and this all of a sudden became my good decision. This became my belonging. And Liz Elder put it really well in her Sky Sport Access episode, "Women in black jerseys give little girls power." And so I'm over here with a purpose to give young people power. And I'm not limiting this to young girls, because I think it's just as important for young boys to see strong women as well. I've got a purpose to give young people positive power, and I've got a belonging in a room full of the most amazing women I've met. So for me, having that purpose, having that belonging, and seeing a good choice in life after seeing a whole lot of bad ones, how can I not feel happy and grateful every single day? I'm so blessed and I'm so lucky. And people talk about all this pressure, oh, you got to win. That's all I got to worry about. I don't have to worry about a roof over my head, food on my table. I just got to belong with this strong group of women and have a purpose to give young kids positive power. I'm one of the luckiest people on this earth, Catherine. Thank you so much for asking me that question, because it's one of the most passionate things I am about in this life, is defining your happiness and going after it and being grateful. So yeah, that's me, Kevin, and I've loved having this chat with you about that.
I'm going to farewell you and thank you very much for your time and for all that energy that you do bring and what you are prepared to share, because you're right, it does influence endless other kids. They might not go on to be rugby players. They will find the thing that offers that opportunity to them, for them to become who they want to become, develop the traits that they want to develop. But it's when they see and hear someone like you that they think, I want that, and give themselves permission to want it. I think that's a big part of it sometimes too. What are you up to now? You've been doing some commentating on Sky. What's happening?
Oh, yeah, it's all go, isn't it? So we just had the Olympics, and I think we press go on women's rugby. This is just absolutely the beginning. I do commentating for Sky Sport. I love that. You just got to talk about what you love, like how good. You know, a couple of projects on the go that I'll be releasing in the new year. And next year, Catherine, we've got the Commonwealth Games, the Sevens World Cup, and the 15s Rugby World Cup, which is here in New Zealand. There's three pinnacle events for the women's rugby. Never happened before, probably never will again. Probably the biggest year for women's rugby we've ever had. So I don't know where we're going to be in 6 months, but I hope to chat to you again, and I hope that I've got some really good news to report.
Whaafatai, kia ora, and have a great Christmas. And Kitty too. What's her name, Ruby?
I've got to go find Manawa. Manawa is her name. Okay. Means heart and Māori, and I've got to go find her. I think she's okay. But whawhitai, lawa, Catherine. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. It's been an honour and a privilege to be here, so thank you so much.
Ka kite. Ruby Tui, off to rescue the kitten.